Hi, I'm Nancy Clare, and welcome to Episode 8 of Speaking of Mysteries. Les Klinger and I had a fantastic time with Don Passman, our interview subject this week. The three of us had a wide-ranging conversation over lunch at the Napa Valley Grill in Westwood, California, talking about Don's recently published mystery, The Amazing Harvey, and touching on subjects from motivation to mysteries and magicians. It was also interesting because both Les and Don are attorneys and magicians. It made for some fascinating digressions into the worlds of law and leisure domain as well. Personally, I'm always curious what drives people who are incredibly successful in their chosen fields. In Don's case, although he doesn't mention it, his clients are a who's who in the music world, to give up precious spare time to write mysteries. Someday I plan to put together an article called, "But What I'd Rather Do Is Write a Mystery." Don answered my curiosity with a thoughtful answer. Although this is Don's first mystery, it is by no means his first book. He's written the nonfiction, All You Need to Know About the Music Business, as well as two thrillers. I see staying power in the characters Don has introduced in The Amazing Harvey, and I look forward to reading more about the adventures of Harvey Kendall. As I mentioned, Les and I recorded this interview at a restaurant, and you can tell. Please ignore the background noise, and here's Don Passman.
Here we are at Napa Valley Grill in Westwood, California, where Chef Taylor Boudreaux just came by to say hello. We're here, Nancy Clare and I are here with the amazing Don Passman to talk about The Amazing Harvey and other things.
Thank you, Les.
I'll jump in. Don, this is your first mystery, but not your first fiction.
That's correct. This is my third novel, but the first mystery.
And why? I mean, why? Yeah, we should explain that Don Passman is a successful attorney in the music industry here in Beverly Hills. Why take what little spare time you have to write a mystery?
I think the short answer is that I am just passionate about writing, and it's almost a compulsion. It's an outlet that I need to have, and I've always loved writing ever since I was a kid. I didn't have time for it in the beginning of my legal career, but now that I do, it's become my serious hobby, and I put nights and weekends into it because it gives me a sense of creative fulfillment, and the creative part of it balances the analytical part of what I do every day.
Did the idea of a mystery just pop in your head, or was it a conscious decision that you wanted to move into genre fiction here, I guess?
It was more that the story dictated it. It was more that I was intrigued by the idea of creating a character for The Amazing Harvey, meeting a young magician, because I thought magicians would look at mysteries in a way that's different from laymen, and therefore I thought it could be an interesting character, and it just led me in that direction.
And your central character is a young magician, and not a terribly successful one, at least in this book. He's got some personality quirks, and we don't want to give away the whole story. Is he based on somebody that you know?
He's not based on anybody specific that I know. He's based on a part of my personality, which is that I love magic, and it's something I've done seriously since I was a kid. But it's just more based on the idea that he's a guy with some flaws, but he's continually optimistic, and he's very excited about what he does, and he's just an interesting, I think, character because he's so passionate about wanting to be a successful magician.
So there's a long tradition of magicians in the mystery world as both writers, Houdini in fact actually wrote some mysteries and thrillers, and as the detectives. Why do you think there's that connection? What is it about a performing magician that makes it fit the mystery world?
Well, I think that the magic is about creating a mystery about how things are done and doing things that are seemingly impossible and having to figure out how to do that. And it's sort of a characteristic of magicians, as it is in The Amazing Harvey with the lead character, that I can't see something that looks impossible and not have to obsess about how to figure out that it was done. And so if there's a mystery of a murder that couldn't have happened in a particular way, how did it happen? happened? How did I go about figuring out what is really going on here and what's behind the curtain?
So this particular case, and since we want everybody listening to read the book, we won't...
Which is called The Amazing Harvey.
Which is called The Amazing Harvey. We won't give it away, but is this case sort of the facts of the case? Yes, I'm here with two lawyers. The facts of the case, based on something real? Is it something that you came across either in the news or magazine or another book or movie?
Part of the premise came across it from an incident in my life, but to describe it too specifically, I'm afraid would start to give away the mystery.
Okay.
But the actual murder itself did not, but the sort of circumstances surrounding it did.
Well, that's comforting. It's comforting that you don't have any experience.
I've always described what I characterize as I've tried to teach magic, because I too am a great fan of magic, and not a performer like you, but in a very amateur way. In teaching my children and grandchildren about magic, I've always espoused what I call the Sherlockian principle of magic. Holmes famously said many times, when you eliminate the impossible, whatever remains, however improbable, must be true. So if you eliminate the impossible, that woman really wasn't sawn in half, you start to now think about, well, how could it have worked? Even though it's pretty improbable, it must be true that it worked in that improbable way. Once you say to yourself, it wasn't really, really magic, which is, of course, how you and I both know to explain our tricks. We have to start to think about other ways. And so I think that is really, I mean, that's what you're saying, is that that's sort of why magicians become detectives.
Yes, yes, that's exactly right. That and magicians also learn to think differently from lay people because we're aware of techniques of how tricks are done that are not generally known to the population.
So he's able to look at things from a different perspective, and that's one of Harvey's strengths.
Yes.
In helping solve the case.
That's exactly right.
He thinks in a different way.
Makes exactly. A lot more sense than the caterer who becomes a detective or the pet groomer who becomes a detective, of which there are a great deal, you understand.
I do.
We meet Harvey, and we meet someone that he meets in the book named Hannah, who's an attorney. Are we going to see Harvey and Hannah again?
Definitely. I'm already researching the next book in the series, and there are one or two plot points I need to work out, and then I'm ready to start writing it.
When you got the contract for this book, did you get a multiple contract with the characters, or...?
They offered to do a multiple contract. I chose to do them one at a time, but they did want to do that.
I think that's smart. I've had so many friends in the mystery field who have felt burned and burned out by the multiple contract, the pressure of having to produce that book when they weren't sure they were ready yet to do the next book. So. And besides, you'll get more money for the second book this way. So.
From your lips to God's ears.
Yes. So you want to talk about influences? Sort of, you know, the writers that you admire and the things that you may have drawn from them?
Sure. I like Carl Hyacin stylistically, and that The Amazing Harvey in the book has a sort of a smart-alecky, light, humorous touch to it. So in terms of the voice, it took me several books to find that voice, even though it's my natural voice, and it was the voice I used in writing my nonfiction book on the music business, but it took me a while to find it in the fiction area. But that's the voice that comes easiest to me. So I like him. From a stylistic writing point of view, I like James Lee Burke a lot. I think he's a very good writer. I like Bob Praise. I think he's a very good writer. I like Jeffrey Parker, who we talked about. I'm kind of an omnivore in books. I read all different genres, all different kinds, nonfiction and fiction. It depends on whatever catches my interest at the moment.
Well, you mentioned Bob Praise and Jeff Parker, and The Amazing Harvey takes place in Los Angeles, where Les and I and Don live. And I think you did a really good job of capturing that that southern part of the San Fernando Valley, which is very different than Beverly Hills or West LA or East LA or Santa Monica. I think you really nailed it. Did you do a lot of research driving around?
No, I grew up there, so it was much easier. I did a lot of research by thinking in my head.
Hannah does have some success in the book. Will she move her offices to
upscale.
A more upscale location, thinking. Is she going to become a Century City lawyer?
It's a good question, and I actually don't know yet. I mean, one of the joys of writing is that as I get into it, the characters start to talk to me, and they tell me what they want to do. So I'm not sure what she wants to do yet. She will definitely get more successful, though.
I mean, that's something a lot of people don't understand, a lot of non-writers, and it's a question that often comes up in conferences and panels. Readers will ask writers, well, what do you mean the characters talk to you? What do you mean a character is not being cooperative? And I'm always interested to hear a writer explain that.
Sure. As part of the writing process, and when I'm really deeply involved in the story, the characters really do have personalities, and they really do have opinions, and they really are consistent people. And if I start to write something that's inconsistent with their personalities, it doesn't, it grates almost. It feels like it doesn't fit. And to the extent they're talking to me, they start to argue with me about that doesn't make any sense. I know, it sounds a little weird. But to really get into writing a book seriously, the characters have to come alive in my head, and they have to be real people. Otherwise, they're cardboard and not terribly interesting.
Janet Ivanovich said, by the way, that if her characters get out of line, she shoots them in the back.
Haven't had to do that so far, but it's a good idea.
Does that mean you're not an outliner? You don't know where the book's going to end up when you start? Or?
Well, interestingly, the first book that I wrote had an incredibly detailed outline, scene by scene, and even details within the scene. This book had a 4 or 5 page outline that just hit the character, the plot points. And I like that much better because it's not as limiting as the detailed outline. So I know pretty much where the story's going, but even with that, as I get into it, it takes turns because it just wants to go somewhere else. It's a real living, feeling sense of a story that starts to unfold itself. And I describe it as sort of filling up and spilling out. I know when it's time to write because the ideas are coming so fast that I have to get them out.
In your character development, especially of Hannah and Harvey, and Hannah's sister, who's actually a fascinating character, did you write backstories for the three characters or all the characters so you would know them, or did you start to know them as you wrote?
A little of both. I've always had a hard time writing a full backstory for a character because I can't just sit down and think of it. It doesn't work. It has to come organically out of the story. So the characters got deeper as I began to write the story, and as they got to know each other, things about both of them came out that I hadn't thought of before writing the book. So I may have some general aspects of who they are and where they come from, but it's not a full detailed backstory. It's just a general sense of who they are. And more of it comes out as the book gets written. The sister, who you like, didn't exist in the outline. She came up later as just part of the process of getting to know Hannah's family and in a sense of it.
So I think we should try something that's never been done on the radio before.
Okay.
A card trick.
Okay. I am sitting not just with two attorneys, but two attorneys who are magicians.
So Don, I'll be the narrator as we go along here. I'll describe what I'm doing. I guess so. You'll do whatever talking you want to do, and that way the audience can share the dream. Don is shuffling the cards.
That's right. Yeah. Okay. So are you going to do it?
No, you're going to. to do it.
No, I mean, are you going to be the...
Oh, I'm going to narrate. I guess so. Okay. All right. So shuffle the cards.
So stop somewhere.
Stop.
Okay. Take a card.
I've selected a card.
All right.
I'm now...
Remember the card.
Show it to Nancy, but I'm not going to tell you, the audience, what it is. You'll just have to trust us. Nancy's taking a picture of the card so that we can prove later that there's nothing going on.
Very good. All right. So you stop somewhere.
Stop.
And you will remember the card.
Yes, I will. And we have a photograph of it. Don is shuffling again after I placed the card, and he randomly selected the card in the deck. Apparently randomly selected anyway.
Okay. All right, so take the deck, and I want you to deal face down in a pile and spell the number of your card. So it's a 4, you do F-O-U-R.
Okay. We know what it was. All right.
No, don't say it. Just deal down.
Okay.
Is that it?
That's it.
All right, now I want you to spell the suit.
Okay. Okay, I have dealt out. You audience don't know what the card is yet. I've dealt a number of cards in the pile on my right. That's the number, that is the number of letters of the word that is the number of the card. And I've dealt a number of cards that is the letters of the word that is the suit of the card.
So now, what was your card?
The 2 of hearts.
Turn over the next card.
And, oh my goodness, the top card of the deck that I've now turned over is the 2 of hearts. Pretty amazing.
So let me explain what you spell hearts using all hearts.
Wow. In fact, the 6 cards I turned over to spell hearts are all hearts.
And you spell 2 using...
The cards I used to spell 2 are all 2s. Amazing.
We want to thank Don for joining us and talking about the amazing Harvey and talking to us and especially for the magic trick.
It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
And we hope the book and Harry do not disappear soon.
Next week, Speaking of Mysteries talks to true thriller writer Annie Jacobson, who will talk about her most recent nonfiction book, the New York Times bestseller, Operation Paperclip, the secret intelligence program that brought Nazi scientists to America. I've known Annie a long time, and I'm always amazed at the stories she is able to discover, and perhaps most importantly, bring to life. Until next week, this is Nancy Clare at Speaking of Mysteries. Thank you for listening.